I will call the Joint Committee on Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy to order May the 24th, 2007.
Madam Chair.
Welcome everybody here. We're just on our downhill slide here for the committee. We'll have today's informational hearing, public hearing, and possible work session on Senate Bill 1038, and we will have another informational hearing on Tuesday, and then we will be closed. And that will be it. So,
Madam Chair.
Yes.
You just look beautiful today.
Oh my goodness! Thank you very much. That's all right. That's all right. I'll take it. Even if she wants something.
Isn't that beautiful turquoise? My word.
All right. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1038.
Jim? Thank you, ma'am. Senate Bill 1038 was last heard by the committee on 5/17. It will require certain state agencies to develop plans for mitigating effects of natural disasters and for recovery and reconstruction efforts after natural disaster has occurred. Authorizes certain state agencies to coordinate and consult with public and private organizations interested in disaster and recovery planning. Appropriates money from the general fund to the Office of Emergency Management for purposes of the Act. In your packet, you should have dash one and dash two amendments. If you recall, during our last meeting, we received testimony from the director of the Office of Oregon Emergency Management, who indicated the bill as written, there would be a fiscal impact estimated at $500,000 to $1 million. The amendments, the dash one, the very first thing it does is it removes the language appropriating money. It would create an interim committee on natural disaster planning. It would allow for the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House to make the appointments. The interim committee would report to the Legislative Assembly within 30 days after its final meeting, and it would sunset at the next regular biennial legislative session. The dash two amendment would again eliminate the language appropriating money. It would create a task force on natural disaster planning. You'll notice that there are blanks on the number of members, but it would allow the president of the Senate, speaker of the House, and the governor to appoint members. The task force would report to the appropriate interim committee related to emergency services no later than October 1st, 2008. And this task force would also sunset at the next regular biennial legislative session.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim. One of the things that we've been talking about over the months is trying to get us prepared for the event. Now what we're trying to do is to shift your attention a bit from the event itself. And now it's happened, and now we have all of this destruction, and what are we going to do now that we are there? And so this is going to require a lot of conversation by a task force in the interim, but we wanted to bring the conversation here while we were in session, so that when the interim committee can come back with a report, we will have at least touched on that subject, and we'll enter into some conversation today. I don't have a sign-up sheet, so I see Dr. McConnell and Ken Murphy in the audience. Would you like to come up and let's just entertain some conversation with you about this?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Just as a thought, when I read lines 6 through 9.
And the dash 2.
Of the dash 2, members of the public who have experience or training in mitigating the effects of natural disasters and implementing recovery. So I'd like one of these people to address who are those people that he can think of in Oregon that really have those types of trained backgrounds. I don't know of any.
Chair Berger and Co-Chair Boone, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ken Murphy, the Director of Oregon Emergency Management. And to answer that question, Representative Krieger, there's probably not that many, but we do have folks that have participated in different disasters in the recovery process during hurricanes. in the Gulf Coast. We have had some individuals from the state go to other countries, such as the Kobe earthquake in Japan, the Sumatra Indian Ocean tsunami event. So there are some folks, and I guarantee you it's not that many, but we also can pull experts from other parts, at least, in, and I'm sure Dr. McConnell can too, from our organizations across the nation that can help us too. And there's a lot of good detailed, both scientific and non-scientific papers that have been done on some of the issues. And having said all of that, this process of recovery, long-term recovery, in my opinion, is still an untested science, if you will, or art, because each emergency or disaster has caused unique problems to a city, county, state, or country. Not many disasters, such as Hurricane Katrina, have eliminated a city. I always go back to Waveland, Mississippi. Hurricane Katrina had actually destroyed every building, every fire hydrant, every signpost, everything. And there's not that much documentation to really take a look at what would happen if you really truly did destroy an entire city, its infrastructure, its records, even the people that have the institutional knowledge. So some of this may be new ground that we're going to have to discuss and you know, anticipate, but there's quite a few people that we can depend on to help us out in this.
Follow up.
I read the original bill. I read this one just real quickly here, the dash twos, and the task force has no legislators. And when you have a group of citizens making up recommendations that are going to be coming back to the legislature in some form, I think a couple of legislators to kind of moderate the understanding of what's doable and not in this building would be of help. And I'd be more than willing to have the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate appoint one from each body to kind of serve that part of the purpose. I think that would have some value, and they also would be good people to help sell what took place during those task force deliberations as the reasons of some of these things. And I'm perfectly happy that they would both be Democrats or Republicans. It has nothing to do with safety for our people.
Back to your question or comment about how many people we might find, having just attended your conference, Mr. Murphy, I would think in that fairly large group there would be a number of people who seem to be pretty versed in recovery.
Chair Berger, you're absolutely correct. And one example, and I'll just, for the benefit of the rest of the committee, one of the ladies that I awarded the Emergency Manager of the Year Award to, Peggy Pearson from Benton County, is on a disaster medical team for the federal government, has traveled to foreign countries for disasters, spent a great amount of time in Katrina, and has traveled to many other disasters to help out. So a lot of these folks, although you don't hear about it or see about it, on their own personal time and money, they go do these things. And we also in Oregon have some very talented and experienced Red Cross volunteers that have a lot of this knowledge too, so they're out there.
Senator Marcet, Representative Krieger has just suggested that perhaps two legislators should be on the task force, because as it stands now in the bill, they're all public people. Would you like to have any comments on that at all?
I think that's a good idea.
You think that's a good idea? Okay. All right. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate Representative Krieger's comments and Senator Morissette's openness. Perhaps while we have these folks in front of us, I would just throw out, as I read through these dash one and dash two, it seems to me like they could be melded together to address that issue of some legislative representation on the task force along with some expertise. But I would also suggest that I don't know that the language necessarily needs to be changed, but maybe just our thought process around intent of people. It's a fairly narrow line suggesting that one would have to have had significant experience or training in these various things, mitigation and recovery efforts, whereas, or an interest in, might broaden the pool of individuals. And I say that because, as was mentioned, an emergency manager who was recognized recently at the county level may come with significant expertise, but also some of our long-term emergency folks within the local government structure have fairly intense knowledge about some of the mechanisms for recovery and mitigation on a small scale. Certainly not, thankfully, we haven't seen things of the magnitude, but we've had experiences of what we need to get in place, what kind of information we and documentation we have, and so on and so forth as we go through that process. So I think actually we have a number of people with a great deal of interest as well as limited experience in smaller scale. So I'm just wondering if maybe somehow I like the concept of the task force. I'd like to see us sort of meld together some representation from the legislative body as well as kind of a variety of interested folks.
Okay. Good comments. Yes.
In my discussion with my legislative assistant earlier this afternoon, we talked about what I thought I heard when Jay
Wilson
from Cannon Beach.
Jay Raskins.
Jay Raskins, yeah. And I thought I heard what I'm interested in is a fairly simplified plan, not a mammoth, huge, carved in stone operation that is not going to happen. What I'm interested in is getting people together to figure out what needs to be done now to make sure that when something happens, they don't have to start from scratch. Now, I don't know what that entails, but I want to avoid, you know, the huge fiscal that might accompany anything we're trying to do. And so, you know, I think that's something we have to keep in mind, is get the right people around the table and have a couple of meetings and figure out locally what needs to be done. And it's going to be different in each place, and what they think they would need if something happened, what would you need immediately to get started rebuilding. You know, if you want to set land aside, identified for something, fine, you may not want to do that. But I just think it's got to be done at the local level and without constructing a huge mechanism that would cost a fortune.
Madam Chair? Well, I just want to bring up maybe what is not the happiest subject, but USS Ranger would be such an intricate part in recovery, mm-hmm. and certainly would be wonderful. I just think about how I'd love to have it off the coast of Coos Bay if anything happened, and I'm sure everybody else, I'm sure Representative Cowan would like to have it, and Chair Boone, and we'd all have a floating hospital with lights and heat and food and all those things. So I think that that's the conversation we're trying to get to as to how we're going to evacuate. And some of the things we have not really touched on in trying to get structure set for this. And so, Representative Nelson?
Yes, thank you very much. Madam Chair, and Representative Morissette, what I don't understand is why we're doing away with the original bill. Why aren't we just adding a task force?
I have no idea.
Well, this is, I mean, that's what we just did, and I thought the original bill was very good. Mm-hmm. And
it wasn't my idea to get rid of the original
bill. It's not my idea, and I think we should keep it.
I don't know if it might have been done.
We should keep it and add it to, just add the task force to it that includes, you know, some legislative individuals as well as the ones that you Senate, and President, the Governor, and Speaker. Select. I mean, I think because you've got to have agency representation.
Yes.
So I like the original bill, and I think we just need to add a task force to it.
That's my recommendation. Good comments.
If I could get a clarified question, please.
All right.
One of the concerns that we have with the bill as written is the fiscal, because it would have the Office of Emergency Management overseeing this project. So would the amendment you're discussing remove that requirement and have committee services staff still staff the task force?
Yes, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it also identifies the University of Oregon, DAGAMI, LCBC, Oregon State University, the Office of Emergency Management. Do you still want that included?
Yes. But, yeah. That was good. All right, Will. What was the rationale for those particular entities? In other words, that's stipulated.
And that is currently in the bill?
Uh-huh, in the original bill.
I wasn't involved with the bill when it was first drafted, so I'm not sure how they got involved. I'm sure it's because of their level of expertise.
Chair Berger, on that, you know, when we went through it, the way it came out of Legislative Council and the way it was written, it created a fiscal impact, you know, and a tasking that, you know, it just did not have the resources to do, and that's why we tried to amend it, you know, to, you know, lighten the load, so to speak, and because it did have a fiscal impact.
Okay, so those that were listed, University of Oregon, DAGAMI, those you were trying to get it where this is what created the fiscal impact by
true.
Having that group.
So, right.
So actually, we'd have to go to the -2 amendment structure of the Speaker and the President of the Senate, and then adding legislators
in
order to
absolutely
avoid.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, and you know, we know Dr. McCall and I know we'd be part of this, and I know we want to be part of it. But it, just the way it was written created it, and I do agree with Representative Krieger. I think it's critical to have legislative representation, you know, not only to support what's going on, but it's also just good education, you know, that we can teach each other and work with constituents so, you know, that everybody understands this.
May I add something if I...
Surely, and if I was getting ready to call on you anyway.
Well, thank you. For the record, I'm Vicki McConnell, the Director of the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. I think that my humble suggestion here would be in Section 2, when it named the particular entities that at first were tasked with certain or mandated with certain tasks, that those entities really are part and parcel to this discussion. However, all of the tasks that are there are really what we're going to be talking about. We're going to try to figure out how you mitigate and recover and all of those things. And so, I mean, that may be some of the themes that would be wrapped around this, but and we're really not to the point of making those a mandate at this point. So if there's a way to change that language and say it's not that you shall develop plans for, you shall work on the task force and look at these issues, would that be the way to... That's just a suggestion so that we could keep the same structure and have that same... Because it's really getting to that point.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, I don't know if I'm following up or
all right.
Follow my issue. Well, I think the only thing that I saw need to be done was just to eliminate in the relating clause the and appropriating money. And I think definitely, I don't mean to be disagreeable, Doctor, but I really think y'all need to be a part of it, and I think everybody can contribute. And this... Oregon Natural Hazards Work Group, I mean, said it perfectly. We need a collaborative initial to build local capacity to identify catastrophic post-disaster long-term recovery and reconstruction issues for the state and communities and develop policies and plans at the local, state, and regional level. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what this does with some legislators and appointed public joining y'all. I think it'd be great.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Senator Marsette.
Okay. The gentleman who came to testify from, I believe, LCBC.
There was Paul Clarence.
And he made some statements that I got kind of exercised over and concerned about because I said, we don't want to do all that. And my legislative assistant counsel, policy advisor, said that's part of it. We have to do all that according to the bill. Now, in Section 2, the University of Oregon has been involved, and they are consulting operation, and they would bring in, we would have a huge fiscal if we kept this part
right.
of the bill. So that's the purpose of, that's what we're trying to do now, is eliminate that as much as possible, keep it relatively small, but to the point on what we're trying to do, make some recommendations for somebody else at some point to come in, or give options for others to do if they want to follow through. So that's what we're about right now. And to change the makeup of the work group is fine, but I think we have to get rid of this fiscal, otherwise we're wasting our time.
Senator Johnson.
Absolutely. I apologize. I was meeting with the co-chairs, so the impact of fiscals looms large.
Right.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, what are we really trying to accomplish? Are we trying to add legislators to the mix? And mm-hmm. that's fine. Or are we trying to, from this Diaz, prescribe what the committee should do? And that, in my opinion, gets less fine because it gets more expensive. Mm-hmm. And actually, I don't think any of us necessarily have the expertise to weigh in the subject area. Part of this, I think, is a mechanical problem, and we're sort of mixing policy and mechanics. I've got a portion of one of my towns sliding into the Columbia River right now. And the difficulty about trying to work out the intricacies between FEMA and the federal element and the state element, and my concern is that if we, very prescriptively in a bill, send out yet another task force to think about another set of recommendations that we're very specific about, I don't know really what we're accomplishing. If we want the certified smart guys to go off and figure this out and come back with a set of recommendations without us dictating what they should be thinking about in a bill, I guess I'm a lot happier just knowing that it's happening someplace around a table with a lot of smart guys sitting there.
I think that before you came in, Senator Johnson, we were talking about, we've been working for this many months talking about the preparation of, and what we're trying to do is bring the conversation to the table about, okay, we've tried to get things in place to be prepared for it, but now it's happened. Now, what happens? And how, a little bit more detail of how it goes in place. Who's going to be dealing with FEMA? The shock of going back to the New Orleans area this many months after something crisis has happened and nothing has happened is just terrible. And the people are just suffering. And if we can spare Oregonians from that, we will have done a wonderful thing.
Yeah, could I make another crack at answering her concern?
Sure.
Because before you came in, my take on this is that this will happen at the local level. I would love, as a legislator, to continue to be involved, meeting at the local level to see what people in the various parts of the coast think their priorities are for recovery. Now, there has to be some commonality, I would think, if we're going to create some ease of this transition, but I think it has to start from the local level, and I think there needs to be some coordination to make sure it happens, because some will do it and some won't. And there needs to be the experts at the table to talk about what steps need to be prescribed or taken to allow them to do what they need to do. So this is not a top-down thing. I think it's facilitating a local effort to figure out what needs to be done in their community, and us giving them the mechanism to cut through the red tape to do it, or at least to pre-plan for it.
I guess my only comment would be that faced with the reality of the phone call that I get from the Astoria City Manager against all this sort of framework of planning, I discover after the fact that Clatsop County, shame on them, doesn't have a hazard mitigation plan.
and the absence of a hazard mitigation plan cuts them out of different kinds of pots of FEMA money. Mm-hmm. I guess my question is it their responsibility, and woe unto them if their county commissioners didn't figure out they were supposed to do it? Is there a state responsibility that says, I'm sorry, you don't get any help if you don't have the tools in place that are the minimum qualifications to come to the table? Am I expecting the agency to develop an advocacy role to go chew on FEMA's leg if we're not getting every single thing we need? Or is OEM just bureaucrats that are just kind of the adjunct of FEMA here in the state? I see little mechanical problems not being worked on at all, and we're creating more task forces to study more stuff, and we're being very prescriptive about it. And I just want to know, do all the counties have hazard mitigation plans? And I guess maybe I'm getting so jaded about all of the planning and nothing coming from it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not prejudging that this bill wouldn't produce wonderful results. But
a good comment.
We're creating more task forces this session. We'll have a task force for every man, woman, and child in Oregon to sit on before we're
out there. Just a quick response. Those county constituents are your constituents.
Yep.
So you're responsible to make sure that they're safe and that they have a plan. If the county commissioners are not doing their job, you know, so I see the state as you know, an accountability and making sure that there's a plan out there. And it's got to be locally, I agree, it's got to be a local issue because, you know, but as long as there is something and as long as it meets the standard of can you carry on after the disaster? Do you have everything lined up so you can carry on after the disaster, however it is you want to carry on? So I don't see it as a big...
Mr. Murphy.
Chair Verger, and to respond to Senator Johnson, we have worked with Clatsop County for a long, long time on this hazard mitigation plan. They're one of the few that don't. I'd go write it for them if I had the staff. But maybe that's what I'll have to do. But they've known about this for a long time. And, you know, I'm here to do the right thing for the citizens of Oregon, but I'm also here to anticipate and put into place those things that do meet law, and we have advocated for the city of Astoria and their slides with everything that we have, and maybe we will have to take what staff we do have and go write that for them, but they've known for a long time. We've provided them a lot of information to do it, and so
make no mistake, I'm not holding you responsible for the fact they didn't do it, but I am trying to understand whether or not you guys are processors or advocates or assisters, or you do it for them, or I mean, you. This
all
exchange
the
that you and I have just had, I think, is instructive.
Yeah, all the above. It's part of my role in the state of Oregon to be that to every county and every city and every citizen, to be an assister, an instructor, advocate. But I also have to respect the laws that are in place and try and work closely with the state and the federal government to make sure that we're doing things correctly.
Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm loving the concept of watching you chew on the leg of FEMA for a while.
Yeah, I like that one too.
I'm kind of enjoying that thought process. But when I come back to reality, I have a strong belief that most of our counties have many of the plans in place that you're talking about. They do have hazard mitigation plans. I think that we have a great deal of statute already that directs a lot of these things. What happens in the legislative body or as individual legislators, we tend to hear about it when there's a problem, and then we kind of try to develop this statewide plan to fix a small problem, and it's not a small problem in that particular entity, but we don't stop and look at whether, as a general scope, most everything is working. I really think that this gets back to a much earlier discussion when we talked about the Office of Emergency Management, which is the statewide oversight entity for whether or not we have these things in place on a local basis, needs additional staffing in order that they can continue their their role and their directive and their responsibility. I think there's the will. I don't think that one individual can do it all. And I'd like to see us shape this as a support base. What additional expertise would be helpful to agencies like DOGAMI and OEM and whoever else needs it to bring this conversation together, to examine where our weaknesses are, and to come back to us with some suggestions as whether there needs to be statutory change to give their efforts more teeth to make these things happen. But I'm really reticent to write a new law that's very prescriptive about everything that must be here until we've had an opportunity to examine and see where exactly those weaknesses are, and to try to make sure that we have everybody at the table in that conversation. So I don't know exactly what I'm suggesting in this thing, but that's where my concerns are.
Just a point of clarification, Representative Cowan, you're specifically asking both of these individuals to talk about what help they need, but focused on recovery. That's where I would hope that we could keep the conversation today.
Absolutely. I'm not suggesting preparedness. I understand that we need to carry those conversations into planning for recovery and mitigation. I'm very much aware of that, many of those things that we've dealt with. I don't want to, with all due respect, honestly make an assumption that Oregon is at the same stage of preparation for that Louisiana might have been.
Right.
I mean, I think it's important that we, as a group, and appropriately some kind of a group, not just assigning another task force, but let's stop and look at where are we by comparison to some other states. Are we ahead? And if we have weaknesses, what do we need to do to fix them?
Let's take response from each one of you on that. I think that's a good conversation to have.
Chair Berger and members of the committee, first of all, I'll say that, you know, and I'll be candid, I guess I would lean towards Senator Johnson's comment that we have to be careful how many task force we do create. And I have numerous ones already. I'm sure Dr. McConnell does, too. And Senator Berger, you've asked me to provide you some information about where OEM really is, and I agree with Representative Cowan. You can make some comparisons to other states, although it's not always a valid comparison, but it does provide, you know, some insight. And I'll just give you a real quick look. The state of Washington is somewhat similar to Oregon in its geography, its demographics. They have a little bit more population. They have more military posts. A little bit different coastline, but they generally suffer the same types of disasters. Their emergency management division has 110 people in it, you know, compared to the 41 that I have. And as I testified before this committee, when you take out the people that are being paid to do the 911 program, the chemical stockpile program, you get down to less than 20 people that are actually dedicated to really doing anything, and then you take out administrators and managers and things like that, and there's very few people that are actually left to go out and do anything, you know, with a community or a county. We've become very talented at squeezing blood out of the turnip to try and do things with counties and cities, but you know, when you look at the base structure and try and develop what it is you really need to have a comprehensive plan to mitigate, prepare, respond, and recover, it really does take staff and money, and that's why these regional people that we proposed can be of a big assistance, you know, to help counties and cities with these plans and are out there close to those organizations. In my organization, other than a domestic preparedness planner that strictly is focused on homeland security, I have one planner for the whole state to do all plans. Now, that one person can't do them all. We all have many other duties as assigned, but looking at the base of what it is, the kind of program that you want and should have and what it is you want to accomplish, you've got to start with a foundation before you start building any other piece of the structure.
You heard at your conference that if we were looking at the National Guard to have kitchens that could be set up where you could feed large groups of people, that those are no longer available and would not be available in times of a crisis. Would you concur with that?
I would concur with that, Chair Berger, short of checking the databases on what they actually have left in the state. But I also can tell you that there are other organizations that have that capability to provide kitchen services, or such as forestry and those organizations. So even though the National Guard is rich in assets and different things, there are other organizations that we depend on, too, to provide those type of things.
So your answer to what Representative Cowan has brought up is actually... your department is too small and you do not have enough people actually employed within your organization to do what you need to do.
Chair Berger, that is correct. I mean, I have 41 people, sounds like a lot, but like I said, when you actually break it down into what their job duties are and how they're paid, there's very few people that are actually dedicated to true emergency management, working on each piece of mitigation, preparedness, response, and recovery. And I think it's House Bill 2923. Part of that was to try and address some of those. An example was asking for a person that could work on logistics, because one of the greatest issues with recovery is logistics, how to get things, where to put stuff, what kind of a planner to be able to put together a logistics plan for food, water, ice, cots, whatever the case may be. And there's just a lot of those different pieces, just extra planners to do that. So, very short in that area.
There was a 4-point earthquake in California yesterday or today?
Yesterday.
Uh-huh. And so would you suggest that if one happened tomorrow, that you would have a bank of volunteers? How would you handle this shortage of people?
Well, if you have a disaster such as that, we initially depend upon our current staff. All of our staff, no matter how they're paid, know, and it's in their position descriptions, that they revert immediately to deal with the response and the recovery effort. And then also I go to the Department of Administrative Services, to Director Ball, and I give him a list of all of the different people that I need. And then we also can invoke mutual aid, intrastate mutual aid, and then also the Emergency Management Assistance Compact for the United States to bring in people that we need. And if it's of such magnitude, then I would request a declaration from the governor to go to the president to bring in federal assets if necessary.
And just one added thing, and then I want to move on to Dr. McConnell and have her answer Representative Cowan's thing, but SJR 6 will not be brought to the committee during this session. So that is the constitutional revision that we would need for spending money. Mm-hmm. So that would be one more hill to climb for you if there is a disaster. Dr. McConnell?
Could I, Madam Chair, before you go on, why is it not coming?
There's been a problem with it somehow, with it being ready to get to the ballot or in the process of getting to the ballot, and I was told yesterday that it will not be forthcoming to the committee. So, Dr. McConnell?
Thank you, Chair Berger and Co-Chair Boone and committee members. To go back to Representative Cowan's comments, what I would like to say from my agency's point on this, again, our responsibility is in the identification and characterization and helping with mitigation. And we certainly are always interested in help to be able to do that. But I think for this effort, what I would suggest for this effort and the idea that's behind the suggestions for the task force and the talk about recovery here from catastrophic recovery or otherwise, that our role in this would be, and I certainly believe we have a role, but it would be more advisory, because when it gets to the recovery part, then it's how can we, you know, how have we helped everyone understand what they're recovering from and what they should be planning for? I would say that certainly we would want to have a role in helping people understand that. We would want to have a role in sitting down at the table and listening to. And one thing I want to go back to what Senator Morissette said, this really should be a bottom-up discussion, I think. It should be the communities who are the ones that know what their capabilities are, what their capacities are, and what their capacities aren't. They should be sitting down with us and emergency management and other folks and having that discussion. I think as a sounding board and for us to then to be able to bring in some experts and talk about where things have happened in other areas and ideas that they may want to think about or how they can do those long-term decisions, whether it's having model ordinances in place for land use, for changing your land use decision making, as one of the reasons that DLCD is in here, is if you're going to recover, are there zonings that you want to change? Are there things that you want to have in a recovery plan that cover those kind of issues? So we need to listen to all those local communities and hear what it is that they are they're concerned with and how can we develop plans around that. And we certainly feel we have a table, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you how many people I want today.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I don't know this person, but he came and testified for us. Who has Cannon Beach? Do you have?
You do?
Okay, Ms. Jay Raskin.
Jay Raskin, yeah.
But anyway, I mean, I thought it was so practical what he brought, and one of them happened to be, do we, you know, seek to relocate commercial areas and our land use law doesn't allow it? I mean, we ought to have these type of programs prepared, ready to respond. And then, you know, he talked about the need on the utility companies, the ODOT repairing roads, sanitation, just knowing whether we should be putting up dikes and bringing in fill. Is that our long-term plan to rebuild in these areas? I thought it was excellent. But let me just say this. I guess I feel I'd rather leave this legislature and this committee. We can do something about that SJR6 if we decide. I'd be happy to help it, work on it. But it's a miracle, in my opinion, that we haven't already had a stop work issue at Portland International Airport. So Klamath Falls being the alternative, I mean, what is that plan? What happens if tomorrow some idiot terrorist, you know, does something horrible at Portland International Airport? Do we have a plan of how on earth we're going to get these people to Klamath Falls and fly them out? And I mean, just some very basics like that, I just think is so critical that we do this and know now. I mean, that's one I would just anticipate.
Do we know?
Chair Berger, and to answer Representative Nelson's questions, I personally cannot tell you what the plan is. We asked the cities, in this case Portland International Airport, that they would have a plan. I know they have a plan. I can't tell you if it's that detailed. Part of that would depend on how the traffic is rerouted. It would be a federal crime scene if it was terrorism. Totally controlled by the FAA and the FBI and the Department of Justice, and we probably would not have much say in it other than if they diverted the airplanes to a location, then we would probably assist in the transportation of them. But I cannot give you any details of the plans. At the state level, we would not have a plan on how to deal with a terrorist attack other than what we have already. The more detailed operational plan is at the City of Portland, the Port of Portland, and with the FBI.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess what I want to know is, you know, are you going to call up that Air Force base or whatever base it is, guard at Klamath Falls? I mean, to start manning an airport. Let's say it's not a terrorism. Let's say it's a, you know, sinkhole that just took half of the airport or something. Other than this, I know the federal. I'm just wanting to know how do we keep commerce going? How do we keep people moving? Our economy, you know, from dying because we have no airport. You know, we have no hub. We have no hub and spoke in this state. We should. How do we tie trucks to it that we're going to, you know, Portland? You know, where do these containers now go? To Joann's Coos Bay? Heaven knows. You know, we're being shipping lines and wouldn't know what to do. But I'm just saying, that's what I'm concerned with. Just how does life go on if we looked at some of these basic issues? I think that's what we need to do, and know that we know what we're going to do. Are we all going to drive to Seattle? Well, maybe, if the roads aren't gone.
Right. Chair Berger and Representative Nelson, you're absolutely right. Those are the basic one of hundreds of questions that you have to think about, not only during the response phase of a disaster, but the recovery phase, because some of these things could be damaged or unusable for, as Senator Berger knows so well, for years. And it doesn't take long, even with the smallest of disasters, to make your economy quit.
That's right.
So it's something that you very closely have to look at and try and figure out the best ways to deal with it. And even I wasn't in emergency management at the time, but I remember reading with interest the volcano in 1980, Mount St. Helens, and what it did to the river traffic on the Columbia.
Yeah.
And how it affected commerce.
That's
and
right.
So
and aviation.
And aviation.
I was in that one.
Yeah.
We couldn't go in there.
Let me just ask you one thing about getting some conversation going with the right people. And it doesn't have to be a huge group. But is there something that you can do, notwithstanding a bill, not having something in statute and in law, is there something that you can do that is through your office that would draw a group together? Is there something that can be actually a project out of your conference, your people that are members statewide? Is there a way of handling this conversation as suggested by several members here, rather than forming a task force with a list, a long laundry list of things, but to keep the conversation going and a report back to this committee or one like it as to the findings?
Chair Berger, the answer is yes, but it won't be real quick. We would have to be very careful on how we do this. I think a lot of these answers or the information is in different pockets in different organizations, like the conference you attended. And I know we have some good information, and I'll brag for Representative Cowan here. One of the good examples of recovery is in Lincoln County, Commissioner Terry Thompson and the emergency manager Jim Hawley have done a mutual aid agreement with the fishing fleet. So you have food, fuel, transportation, something that can help long term if the coast is unusable for roads and airports and things like that. So there's pieces out there, and I think we can show what is available, and I think it's pretty easy to show what's not available that might have to be addressed. And it would take some time, depending on what other issues that we must deal with. But there are groups that talk about this now. We obviously talk with the University of Oregon Natural Hazards Work Group, which I will say they get paid to do this, so they don't do it for free. But there are people talking about this type of thing all the time.
So the answer,
and I do believe it's
the
possible.
Answer is yes or no.
It's yes, but it would take time. It's not something that I can just turn the staff on to with all the other things that we have to deal with.
All right, committee. I am going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1038, and if possible, we may continue this conversation on Tuesday. We may not, but we will have the amateur operators, radio operators here, which is another important piece of the recovery. And anybody have some good of the order, or
just one question?
Yes.
A rumor around the building is that the Speaker and the Senate President may continue the committees as currently manned. Is that correct, what you're hearing? So we can would be able to keep the pressure on as we're going through the during the
hearing. Representative Boone and I have been talking about writing a letter, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I wanted to tell the committee this. Writing a letter requesting that ocean policy and emergency management be separated out. Ocean policy involving marine reserves, the sanctuary, the fishing industry, and many other problems that are facing the coast really need a concentrated effort on the part of a committee, and it's just impossible to manage these two subjects. They're too unrelated, even though they're both very coastal. Mm-hmm. So we will intend to get that letter out next week requesting that. I have no indication, nor have I had any indication on the Senate side, that the committee will stay the same in the interim or what will happen with it. That I don't know.
I have just heard a little inkling of that rumor also, just mm-hmm. but nothing solid.
I talked with Brian Chipley today, and he said that they had not had that discussion. So, all right, I'll call the meeting adjourned.